HIV/AIDS in Rhode Island. And first and foremost, we'd love to have as many people come out as possible. You can also certainly donate some money if you want. There's a booth that Glenn Ramsey and I will be running in back, but there's a website you can come on and sign up for a team as well as to donate money if you want. The other thing is that we're also going to have PPC t-shirts. So if you want a t-shirt, if you're walking and you want a t-shirt, or if you just want a t-shirt anyways, we are taking orders today. I do have to get the orders in this week, so just make sure to let us know either today or very shortly. The suggested donation is going to be $10. So if you do have $10, please donate for the t-shirt. If you can't afford that or that's too much, then just talk to me or Glenn, or Gina actually, and we can certainly get you one for free. But first and foremost, we'd like to see as many people out walking as possible. So thanks.
Great. And there is a Team Providence Presbyterian Church listed on the First Giving website that's in your bulletin. So you can donate directly that way as well. Are there any other announcements?
Morning. I just wanted to call everyone's attention to something different that we are trying at coffee hour. We sort of started it last week just to test it out, but we will be having a nut-free table for people with allergies or sensitivities to food items containing nuts to start off. And so there is a table with a sign clearly labeled that that is a table that has items that are nut-free. If you are interested in helping donate items for that table so that we can keep it going, there is an approved list that is on the sign-up bulletin board in the Hope Room, so please check that list to see what items that you could bring in. And if you could just see myself when you do bring those items in so I can check it off, and then we can put them in a safe place. If you have any questions about the items or have bought items that you think maybe not free and just want to double-check, please see me in coffee hour as well. Thanks.
Jenny, I made the announcement about confirmation class meeting, so I think we're set for downstairs. Jenny, why don't you wave your hand so that people know who you are if they have questions? Okay, thank you. Yes?
Our newly formed men's group has its first significant debate, and it actually was about the reason there's no announcement as to what day it is because we have perfect inconsistency as to what we agreed to. So yes, it's a men's group. But we'll be finalizing exactly when the next meeting is. It will be this Thursday or next Thursday after the service, so watch your email, or if we have your phone number, we will call you. For those of you that aren't a part of it yet, we've had a couple of great meetings, and this time we'll be having a discussion. The last time was more social, so this one's going to be a discussion topic yet to be decided. We'll have it in the bulletin next week for sure. So please see myself or Dave Bay or Phil Chan if you're interested in getting your name either on the email list or phone list. Thank you.
Thanks. Mysterious men's group. Great to see our college students back and here this morning, and remind the college students that in 2 weeks, and actually in 3 weeks, we will be having a college welcome barbecue, hopefully outside in nice weather, on the 29th after worship, and then on the week following that, our regular first Sunday brunch with college students. And Matt and Marianne Harrison will be looking for members of the congregation to help in assisting hosting those brunches as we move into the fall and the winter to try to welcome and support our college students as they are moving into their studies. Come then to worship our God with gladness. Let us open our hearts to God in praise, in trust, for God is great and greatly to be praised. Come, let us worship God in song. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then come to God, confessing our sins, confident in God's forgiving grace, and renewed to live in new ways as God intends. Let us come in prayer, first in silence, and then praying together the prayer in our bulletin. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, Come and Fill Our Hearts, from the small hymnal, 2157, remaining seated. Let us sing it through twice. Friends, believe this good news. The grace of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. God is love. In and through Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us praise our Lord, because he's wonderful. Yeah.
Now it's time to share our joy and concern among each other and to the Lord.
Yeah, it looks like today I'm going to. I did it last week and I'm going to do it today too. Anybody around here?
I'd ask for a couple things for the church at large. One is that our Synod Council is meeting Friday and Saturday, and we are in the last stages of our new plan for the Synod, which will go to the whole Synod Assembly in October. So I ask your prayers for that meeting. And I also ask prayers for myself this week as I read ordination exams so that I can do a good job. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know, we heard a couple of weeks ago that my sister is going to be adopting an infant, the one who lives in Providence, which is very exciting. My sister always said if a baby fell out of the sky, they would catch it, and one did, and she did. So right now they're in the middle of home study. It's a little complicated, the ordering's a little out of whack, but do pray with them with the home study. Meanwhile, my mother is in Montana where the baby is taking care of it, so pray for her as well. Thanks.
This is Courtney Broderick. She's a freshman at Johnson & Wales and from the Presbyterian Church of Los Gatos, where Dave and Lisa Watermolder are. So I encourage you to introduce yourselves. And we could pray for her and for all these other college students, especially for freshmen as they are getting adjusted. Right here, yes. And we could also pray for grad students and med students that are getting adjusted as well. Thanks.
I have a fabulous joy.
I got a job.
That's nice.
I have a joy, and I'm also asking for prayer. My three-person mother with us today. That's my daughter, Evelyn. And we still have some months ahead of us, so we're still asking for prayers. Thank you.
Yeah, it is a joy that I introduce a colleague from my workplace, Mikey.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my first husband and his partner. My children's father was diagnosed this week with very advanced Alzheimer's, and my three kids are in Florida with him, probably the last time that he will recognize them. His name is Linton Golder.
I ask your prayers for the family and friends of my friend and mentor, Bob.
I'm also asking prayers for my sister-in-law. Her mother just had open heart surgery on Friday. Her name is Betty Sears, and she's at Rhode Island Hospital recovering. She's in a lot of pain. She's in her early 80s, so it's really kind of taking a toll on her, but just prayers for her recovery and comfort.
My mom's birthday was yesterday.
Congratulations. Birthdays.
Continue prayers for my friend Marcia. She's been having a tough time with chemo. She was blessed to have a two-week vacation from it because of all the holidays and was doing really well during that time, had some fun times with her grandkids.
Dearly beloved, I have lots of concerns and prayers. One is how delighted I am to always be worshiping with Providence Presbyterian as well as sharing in its ministry. A concern I have, I've been in and out of Washington, D.C., along with being in and out of our presbytery, and I'm not quite sure where the greater challenge is. But anyway, one of my real concerns is that there are approximately 10 million Americans who are without health care. As you know, there is an Affordable Care Act, which is going to be available to people shortly. There's been a lot of what I consider mythologies and falsehoods about information on the Affordable Care Act. I have some information that I invite you to pick up later on at the coffee hour, which I think will really help to what we need more than ever now, which is truth that needs to be not only verified, but verified, and certainly informed by our biblical truths, which have to do with justice and with mercy, as well as with humility. The affordable health care in this country, for me, is indeed an issue of economic justice. Special, too, I just met through Glenn, a Vietnam friend of mine, who was worshiping with us, and I especially want to, being a Vietnam veteran, to welcome him home and thank him for his service.
Well, just back to the birthday announcements. It's Eric's second birthday today.
would like to ask your prayers for our friend Preston, who had surgery to remove a large tumor in his colon. So prayers that he would heal speedily, as comfortably as possible, and that there will be no further complications. And I have a joy for those of you who knew Peter Anderson when he worshiped here a long time ago. He has married his longtime girlfriend, Marty, and we want to ask a blessing on their marriage.
Today is Lydia's 21st birthday. This is Lydia.
I'm asking for prayers for a good friend of the family. Her name is Maria. The doctor has just discovered a lump in her breast, and she's going to be going through chemo and the whole nine yards, so prayers for her.
Like it's over. No more joy.
Let us pray. Creator God, you come into a world of war and disease, of flood and fire. In joy and love, you come. To create and make new, to inspire wisdom, to guide with your truth to new understanding. We lift our prayers this morning in that promise, that your grace and wisdom will triumph throughout our world, in and through your servants, and even in and through unlikely places and peoples. Guide us to live and pray with such a worldview. We pray for our world, for Colorado with flood on top of fire, for Syria and the volatility of the Middle East, for movement in those directions, for those who struggle without health care and the opportunities that are before them. We pray, O Lord, this day for your healing and strength for those in need, for Jackie and Letitia, for Irma, for Bob, for CJ's first husband and her children, for Betty, for Marcia, for Preston, for Maria, for those who are unnamed in our hearts. We pray, O Lord, that you would live and grow in, that we would live and grow in faith as we pray this day, particularly for this year's confirmation process, for our youth, for the journey, and those who will lead and mentor them into the discovery and the growth of their own faith. We pray for our efforts to share faith everywhere that we find ourselves. We pray for our presbytery, for colleagues in ministry and leadership, Claire and David, for pastors Chris Delmar, Ned Kastner, Don Perkins, Dick Van Dusen, for the work of our Synod Council, and for Judy this week in the reading of ordination exams. We give thanks, O God, for joys that overflow in our lives, that beyond our counting. Help us to always see the blessings of your hand. Help us to be grateful for your grace, seeing those gifts and living in faith. We give thanks for all of the visitors in our midst this day, those who have come with friends, those who have come through friends, those who will be our friends, for our college students, grad and med students that are beginning this new year, for Barbara's new job, for Michael, for Sabina's friend, for Gina's birthday yesterday and Eric and Lydia's birthdays today, for the home study process for Joe, Rebecca, and Lily, for Peter's marriage to Marty. We pray, O Lord, also in lifting up those who continue in particular needs, for those who are homeless, unemployed, those who struggle with addiction, for those who struggle with transition and changed life circumstances. Help us, O God, to keep our focus in you as we gather together in our strengthened in community to follow in the way of our Lord who knew this life, who came to save and to guide, and who teaches us to pray daily saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Children, can you please come forward? Okay, let's sit here. Do that. Okay? Let's do that. Okay. Okay. You want to talk in the mic? We'll see. Sit here. Okay?
In the old days, they didn't have a church like us. They have a temple, and they have to travel far, far away, and they go in a desert in a very dangerous place. And when they were walking, they have to look around to find if there any good person could help us. And they will look, and they were always surrounded by mountains, and sometimes walking and they would find somebody, give them food, give them water, and somebody would say, we are here to help you. And today is the message for us. Remember, God walks with us like the same way we traveled with our fathers and mothers in the car. And if something wrong happened, the father and the mother would pick the phone and call 911 or ask for help. And God for us like that, when we cry, sad, when we feel really we are asking for something, we can call God. And God doesn't have his number. You can just close your eyes and be quiet and say whatever in your heart and say simple words like the one we're going to say now. Okay? Can we pray together now? Okay. God, we thank you for you are the number we call anytime, and we thank you because you are close to us like father and mother, and like relatives and friends, and we ask you to be with us and help our family and protect us from evil and from bad things to happen to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children are excused to go to their classes this morning. The high school class is meeting upstairs, grades 9 through 12.
And I'm having a little trouble with my new glasses this morning, so I'm going to look at you all now, and then I'm going to take them off to read this. Today is the 7th anniversary of my father's burial, and in his later stages of dementia, he always insisted on having $100 in his wallet. And when he was buried, my brother and I had a little conversation about how much money we were going to bury him with, and I insisted on the $100. So, Dad, I hope you're spreading your spirit and your generosity around in heaven, and I miss you so much. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And the New Testament lesson today we find in John. John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
As we start this week to learn about Psalms 122, we need to know Psalm 122 is part of few psalms. We call the Psalms of Ascension from Psalm 120 to 134. These psalms were used for chanting as songs on the road for the travelers. The travelers in the Hebrew tradition, they were supposed to go to the house of the Lord, and it was only one place, the temple in Jerusalem, around three times in the year. Described in the Hebrew Bible as was three events all Jewish people should go and travel to the house of the Lord. According to the Torah, God commanded the Israelites, three times a year shall all your men appear before the Lord your God in the place that God will choose, referring to the temple in Jerusalem. On the festival of Pesach, which Passover, and Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, and the Sukkot, the festival of Booth, they shall not appear empty-handed. It shall bring his own gift, appropriate to the blessing which the Lord your God has given you. And these three festivals were very important in the Jewish tradition, and is still celebrated until today. The first one to refresh our memory, if we have been just only Christian and not being aware of part of our tradition as Old Testament, the Passover was the most important thing that happened to the Jewish people, which they celebrate the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt, as well as the beginning of the new planting, the new place, the new season. And the other one, the Shavuot, biblically is about agriculture celebration. And it's about how God is being with us, not only when we plant something, but even through the whole process. And the last one was about the booth, when we think about what's this festival about. When the Jewish people left Egypt and wandered in the desert, they needed a tent, they needed a place where they can be together in one spirit, in one place. And it's reminded them about the unity after the struggle and after the long journey. When we start the walk on the road, as the psalmist is telling us, we found ourselves in the need for some help. When we start a journey going from place to place, I think a map will be very helpful. And it was our recent technology, GPS will be more helpful. But for these people, the only GPS and map they can use is the communication between each other and telling each other, I have been on this road before and it's really not a good road, maybe you can try another one. Or I have been on this road and really the Bedouins or the people who were there, they helped us a lot. So learning from each other, listening, and taking each other's words really was a deep trust. That was their map and their direction. That's through their basic knowledge they can understand which road to take. But to go back to all these psalms, we need to remember all these psalms about the journey. People came from Egypt, from different countries in the Middle East to go to Jerusalem. Because Jewish people lived all over in the whole world. And this, the writer of this psalm was able to say in the first sentence, he was able to find a companion, a friend to share the road with. And here we can see the troubles and the risk on being on the road. And just imagine if we thought about how much trouble we could be once we push the accelerator in our car. Maybe none of us will drive a car. But even we know how much struggle and how much dangerous to be on the road, we still drive and we still go and we still keep going. And today for us, even we know the troubles and the risk and the dangers of being on the road, But the psalmist is telling us, you can turn around and look at it. This is the vehicle that's carry you from one destination to another. If you follow the rules as much as you can, even life always goes behind the rules and goes behind what's expected. But do not worry, because there is somebody also behind what you can see. Find your help from somewhere behind what's only in your hand, in your head. Lift your eyes. When the struggles and the troubles comes to you, maybe they are pushing you in the right direction. Maybe they are pushing you to find out on which one do you depend, on whose do you depend. And the psalmist started his dialogue with himself. And how much honest when we start conversation with ourselves, speak loudly and clear and honest. Because there is no fear of miscommunication, there is no fear of judgment. And this psalm starts as a conversation between himself, saying, where is my help coming from? His dialogue addressed some questions like, where can I find my help? Could I trust the helper? And once I hit the road, can I travel? And even if I pushed myself farther and put my foot on the road and I'm saying, I'm ready to go, can I keep going on the road? Or I'm going to give up in the middle of the road? Can I achieve the goals I put to myself when I start and I say I have to go from here to there? All of us, we're asking all these questions when we go in a serious decision about relationship and jobs and things very important in our life. And we start with all these questions and wonder. But also these questions could bring us to really we could bring more questions and more troubles to ourselves, but how we can start do the work. When the travelers looked at the mountains, the hills, they remember that God as the creator and helper too. Some people saw these mountains as source of threat because that's where you are vulnerable and you are trapped between mountains and hills, and you are really an easy target for thieves and people to hurt you. But also, there are other people who saw these mountains as a source of protection, surrounding them, maybe giving them some nice breeze in the hot weather, maybe protecting them from the sunshine that could burn them. And also, because people there as to protect them and to tell them, here is a source of water and protection. The psalmist just keep telling us about who God is. Not from the Bible, not from what he heard, but from his journey. And it's very powerful when we tell people about our story, not the one we heard, but the one we lived. Not the one we hope to be, but the one was really happened. God as the keeper, as we saw God as the creator, God also as the keeper. And this was very important for the ancient people because people believed in God that somehow created the world and then became sick of this world and left the world alone. See, he was saying, our God is not this kind of God when he gets tired, leaves his mission. He is the kind of God that create and stay with his creation. In this ancient world, people believed in gods who can get tired and sleep. So the psalmist is telling them, our God is different. He's reminding us today, God is different and better. Because he's not like a human keeper who can sometimes go to sleep. He is the divine keeper. God does not sleep and does not leave his ministry. God is the grantee for our journey because he's in the beginning and in the end and also in between. On the road, these travelers learned about God as the creator who is engaged in the creation and as the helper. The psalmist borrowed from the trip the image of a keeper as somebody's keep protecting us and saw God as this keeper and telling them, as you were protected in your journey in the past, you are not there yet, but could you believe God is still walking with you in between? In the last part of this psalm, we can see God as the protector from all evil, the visible and the invisible one. God is telling us today, God is protecting us from the natural dangers. And the moon and the sun in the ancient world were really an image of the devil controlling something bad. They believed that moon and sun was controlled by the devil, so they have to worship the moon and the sun to be protected from the devil. But today, people in the past and for a long time, and even in our own religion today, could be worshiping God. I don't know if it's out of love or out of fear. But the image that the psalmist is bringing to us, our God is a protector that always will work to protect his people and everybody. Regardless if you worship God or not, it's part of who God is. It's part of God's nature to create, to help, to keep, and to protect his creation. God's protection is for us included in our daily activities, from the sunshine to the sunset, from our birth to the time of departure from this world. God is starting the journey with us, and even when the journey sometimes changed in a different direction, God is still with us. And as this church goes through a lot of transition after transition and take different roads, but we are moving forward. And we should trust God is in the midst of this place. And God will be. Amen.
And join me in the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, if we hold it fast. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter, and to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. Jesus begins his Beatitudes. Greatly honored are the poor. Luke 6:20. With this in mind, let us take our morning offering.
Living God, you came to us as an impoverished child and taught us to honor those who are destitute. Lose our grip on the things we crave and teach us to share your good creation with all of your children. In the name of one born in a manger, we pray. Amen.
God of peace and love, God of protection, the creator of everything, be with you and guide you all your life. In Jesus' name.